In John 8, verse 12, Brad just used it in his meditation. I think it's so appropriate. It says, "And Jesus spoke to them again," or spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Last week we started a new series. We are, I've entitled it, "I Am Jesus." It is a series where Jesus is sharing with us who he is. It goes through the book of John. There are seven I am statements that we're looking at in the book of John. Last week we talked about Jesus being the bread of life. Jesus essentially saying, "I am all that you need." And they come. He's coming down the aisle. You may not see it, but we have a puppy here. All right. Yeah. All sorts of good distractions going on. All right. Today, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." All right, I'll let you get back with me. "I'm the light of the world," Jesus says. In the Bible, that is powerful imagery because Jesus is essentially saying, "I am light." If you look at God's word, light is always associated with truth. It is always associated with holiness. It's associated with righteousness. It's associated with God himself. And so to say, "I am light," Jesus is saying, "I am associated with all of those things." At the exact same time in God's word, you see that evil and sin, deception and Satan, they're all described as darkness. So Jesus is claim here is more than just "I bring knowledge." Jesus' claim here is more than "I just share the truth." Jesus is claiming more than "I just expose danger or deception around you." Jesus essentially is saying, "I am the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. I have come to bring you life." In John 8, verses 18 and 19, just a few verses later, the Pharisees did not like that Jesus was calling himself light because they knew what that meant. And in just a few verses later, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Well, where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus is saying, when you see me, you are seeing the Father. In fact, back at the very beginning of John, John 1, verses 1 through 5, Jesus, or the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," all talking about Jesus. It says, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I want you to understand this morning, as Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world, Jesus is proclaiming, "I am the very one who provides for you. I am the source of all truth. I am life itself. I am, in fact, God here in your midst." Now, this becomes even more powerful as you look at this text when you understand the context in which Jesus is making these statements. In fact, there's two occurrences that you need to understand this morning. And they both have profound meaning when Jesus calls himself the light of the world. For instance, in John 7, John says that they are participating in the Feast of Booths, or that it was the Feast of Booths was at hand, which is also the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, in the Festival of Tabernacles, in the Court of the Women, which is also where they took up the money, which is where Jesus at this moment is teaching. So in that very court, there were these four humongous candelabras. And on the very first night of the Feast of Booths, the Festival of Tabernacles, they would illuminate these four huge candelabras. And those things would shine so brightly that the entirety of Jerusalem is said to have been in the brightness of those lights. They were all illuminated by these lights. And so it's as if Jesus, while he's speaking, as he's proclaiming to them who he is, he points over to those candelabras, at least in my mind, and he says, I am the light of the world. These may illuminate Jerusalem, but I illuminate all of the world. So right off the bat, this imagery is coming before them. This imagery that they remember, these lights were supposed to symbolize the pillar of fire that led them in the wilderness. So as Jesus says this, they're looking at him and they're saying, he's claiming to be the one who guides us. He's claiming to be the very one who should guide our lives like God did in the wilderness. So as he begins this proclamation about himself, he essentially is telling everyone, hey, I'm greater than these candelabras. I will light the entire world. The second occurrence that we need to understand, the second context to Jesus proclaiming himself the light of the world, is the first 11 verses that we skipped right past. And in the first 11 verses, if you're familiar with your Bible, you will find that there is this terrible thing going on, this impromptu trial, as it were, going on. There's a woman that is caught in adultery. Now, you need to understand what's going on here. This woman is caught red-handed in the act of adultery. And they drag her into the temple courts where Jesus is teaching. And I'm assuming that all she had time to do was possibly grab a sheet. So she is either naked or maybe wrapped in a sheet, and she's standing in this court. This is probably the darkest hour of her entire life. She stands there with everyone looking, and the Pharisees say, the law says we should stone her. What do you think we should do, Jesus? Now, it's a trap, and they know it's a trap. But they challenge him, what should we do, Jesus? And you remember, as they're saying this, Jesus bends down and he starts writing with his finger on the ground. Now, the Bible never really tells us what he writes. But in my personal opinion, he's writing the very sins of those men who are standing there accusing this woman. At least that's how I see it. And then he stands up. After he says, you who are without sin, you can cast the first stone. And after they hear this, he spins back down and he starts writing in the sand again. Now, it's interesting to me, the older people, the older men that are there, they wise up quicker and they're like, we're out of here. He hasn't got to my sin yet, and I want to get out of here before he does. So they leave, and eventually all of them leave. And in John 8, verses 10 and 11, this is what we are told. It says, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. The law clearly exposed this woman's sin. But Jesus looks at her and he loves her. He shows love to her. He says, go, and from now on, sin no more. Jesus says, you were caught red-handed in this act of darkness, and from now on, sin no more. Not try your best not to sin. Not, I know your past and you have an excuse because your parents didn't really love you that much, and so I understand why you sin. Not, well, give it the old college try, or if it's convenient, or if you want to. No, Jesus says, go and sin no more. And sin no more. There's a website called the Experience Project. It describes itself as the place to share life experiences with people like you. It's had over 36 million visitors. Visitors to the site are asked to share their thoughts about life experiences by answering questions like, what does loneliness feel like? Or what do you want, or who do you want to spend time with? Or what is your favorite pastime? In one of the posts, the readers were asked to respond to the following statement: I prefer darkness over light. Now, a young woman, going by the screen name Beyond Repair, offered a particularly honest and insightful response. She said, I prefer darkness over light. The darkness allows me to hide who I am and what I truly feel. In the darkness, all things have a chance to be revealed. In the light, all things have a chance to be revealed. Darkness makes it easier to hide. In the dark, you cannot see what is coming next. The darkness is a place where you can lose yourself. Lost in the dark is a great place to be, because then you are free from what you were and can be what you want. The darkness is bliss. The darkness is bliss, she said. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 21, it says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The darkness is bliss is the very lie that Satan tries to convince us of. Darkness is bliss. You can have fun when no one else can see you. In the darkness of your bedroom, you can do things that God does not want, but they're fun. And so you can find bliss there. The world tells us, in the darkness, you can look at those sites on your computer. You can watch that movie. You can participate in those activities. In the darkness, life is bliss, the world claims. A hidden life is a good life, Satan proclaims. Satan says no one could possibly love you if they really knew who you are, so just embrace the dark and hide yourself. But Jesus says, I am the light, and I've come to change all of that. In fact, I want you to listen to Jesus' claim to this woman, what he says to her, and to be quite honest, what he says to us by proclaiming himself light. He says, I see you, and I want you. I see you, and I want you. It's as if Jesus is saying, when he says, I am light, it's as if he's saying, I know your sin. I see what you've done. I know why you did it. I've seen every choice. I've seen every thought. I've seen every desire. I am the light of the world. And yet he still offers us grace and love. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Or Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I want you to understand, when Jesus proclaims himself light, he says, I reveal what is done in the darkness. His light reveals exactly who you and me are. Yet he still loves us. Yet he still loves us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. That is, in Christ God has reconciled the world to himself. And now listen to what he says. Not counting their trespasses against them. Some versions, their sins against them. He sees you. He knows you. And he still loves you. I am light, he says. I reveal the truth. I see all things. And I still love you. What if these screens were to go black? If you click it one more time, they're going to go black. Boop. There they are. Screens are black. Now, imagine with me just for a moment, if you would, that on these screens, instead of blackness, we would start to see a little projection, a little movie of your life. Just your life. And we'll make it just your life in the last week. Let's just say your life in the last week. Now, the interesting thing about the movie that would be on these screens is that it would show everything that you did in your life this past week. So imagine on these screens, your life for the last week, everything you did was on these screens for everyone to watch. How many of us would want to hang around and watch these screens? Now let's throw a little extra in there. It's not just everything you did, but let's put up there everything you thought. For the last week, just 1 week of your life, everything you thought was on these screens for everyone here to see. How many of us would still be sitting here? And how many of us would be running away in shame? Jesus sees all of that, has seen every single bit of that in our lives. All of it. And He still says, I love you. I want you. I want you. He illuminates all of our lives. He sees all of who we are. And He still wants us. The second thing we need to understand about Jesus being the light is not only does He see who we are and want us, but it's as if He says, I see you and I want what is best for you. So He goes on from that. He says, I know who you are and I want what is best for you. In fact, verse 12, our very verse, the verse of I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Like the woman, Jesus is telling all of us, He's saying, I have something better for you. There's a better way to live this life. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses. You ought to memorize this verse. John 10:10, few chapters later, He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus doesn't want to just forgive us and then leave us where we are. As the light, He wants to lead us into a life that is abundant and powerful and great. Light doesn't just expose sin, but it reveals the dangers around us. It illuminates the path to real life and joy. In February 1954, a Navy pilot set out for a night training mission from a carrier off the coast of Japan. While he's taking off in stormy weather, his directional finder malfunctioned and he mistakenly headed in the wrong direction. To make matters worse, his instrument panel suddenly short-circuited, burning out all the lights in the cockpit. The pilot looked around and could see absolutely nothing. The blackness outside of the plane had come inside of the plane as well. He was nearing despair. He finally looked down, and when he did, he thought he saw this faint blue-green glow trailing along in the ocean. His training had prepared him for this moment, and he knew in an instant what he was seeing. He was seeing a cloud of phosphorescent algae glowing in the sea because it had been stirred up by the engines of his ship. The pilot, which was the future Apollo 13 astronaut Jim Lovell, knew precisely what he needed to do, and so he followed that glow back to the ship. Now, while he did not articulate it this way, Jim's life was saved because of the light. Light that led him back to safety. Light that led him back to safety. That is what Jesus does. He is a light that leads us out of darkness. Not just for an eternal life, which is unbelievable, but for an abundant life now. There's a powerful description of Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus is calling us into a marvelous light, an abundant life, a completely different way to live. Jesus says, I see you and I want you. Jesus says, I see you and I want what's best for you. And I also think Jesus says, see me and follow. See me and follow. I'm the light of the world. See me and follow. I'm calling you to stop living in the darkness and see me and follow me. Chuck Colson and several other Christian leaders once met with President Borja of Ecuador. They wanted to discuss with him the Prison Fellowship International's ministry in the Ecuadorian penitentiaries. And as soon as they sat down in the leather seats, these luxurious leather seats, the president interrupted their conversation. And he told them a story about his very own imprisonment years before his presidency. He was involved in the struggle for democracy in Ecuador, and the military cracked down, and he was arrested. Without trial, he was thrown into a cold dungeon. And in that dungeon, there was no light, and there was no window. And for 3 days, he endured that solitary fear and the darkness that surrounded him, a darkness that could drive a person mad. Just when he felt like he was about to give up, like the situation was unbearable, the huge steel door opened and someone crept into the darkness. He heard a person working on something in the opposite corner. And then the figure crept out and the door closed and the person disappeared. A few minutes later, suddenly the room was ablaze with light. Someone, perhaps taking their own life in their hands, had connected electricity to the broken light fixture. And from that moment on, President Borja explained, my imprisonment had meaning because I at least could see. Because I at least could see. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I want you to understand, no matter what you're going through in life, if you can see the light of Jesus, it should change your perspective on everything else. Even the hardest times, when you see the light of Jesus, you know the hope, you know the purpose, you know the direction that you have been called to go in. There is something worthwhile in just being able to reach out of the darkness and grab hold of the light that is Jesus. His light provides us hope to overcome everything we're going through. His light provides us warmth of His loving embrace. His light provides us a clarity of the walk we should walk through this life without fear. Jesus calls out, I am the light of the world. And when He calls that out, He says, follow me to real life. There's a Disney concert hall. It was built in L.A. It was built at the cost of $274 million. Frank Gehry's landmark creation was built out of stainless steel, and it was marvelous to behold. Now, shortly after it was built, the people living in a condominium facing the structure agreed the view was glorious, but the glory became overpowering when the sun shines at midday. Portions of the gleaming concert hall reflected brilliantly into the windows of that condominium. Soon the temperature would rise as much as 15 degrees, forcing residents to get off their patios, to draw the blinds, and to turn on the air conditioner until the sunlight would shift. You couldn't even see, and then the furniture would get really hot, said one of the residents who lived on the fourth floor. You would have to literally close the drapes, she said, and you'd still feel the warmth inside the house. Now bring that to your attention because we have to ask ourselves, how often are we tempted to tone down God's demands and reduce the glare of His holiness so that we can live more comfortably in life? How often, instead of running into the light, the marvelous light, we hide ourselves from it because it is too glorious, because it is too demanding, because it calls for too much. In John 8, verse 11, in the NIV it says, Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Go now, Jesus says. There's an urgency in Jesus' words. He says, go now and get out of the dark and follow me into the light. Don't let anything hold you back. Go now, he says. Whatever you're doing in the darkness, give it up and go now, he says. And embrace the light. Embrace the light. See, there's really only one question this morning that we need to ask. And the question is, will you embrace the light? It's easy to call Jesus Savior, but are you willing to call Him Lord?